2 Peter chapter 1, I want to share again tonight on character development and how important it is that we build or develop personal character. God definitely wants to anoint us, and I've met people with great anointings in their lives. And God definitely wants to empower us with the Holy Spirit and even develop supernatural gifts in our lives. And I've met some awfully gifted people throughout the years of ministry. But I know the heart of the Father, and I know that while He does will to anoint us, and He wills to impart gifts to us, supernatural gifts, the thing that pleases Him is character, personal character. And in these last days, anointing won't be enough. The gifts of the Holy Spirit won't be enough. We all need to develop in our personal character, and that's what we're looking at in 2 Peter chapter 1, the seven pillars of personal character. Personal character. I need to read the whole thing again. I won't do it throughout this entire series, but we need to review this. So let's start in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who hath called us unto virtue, called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, what things? These seven things that the Holy Spirit said we need to add to our faith. And I've already taught you, he's not talking about it's faith plus these things to save you. We are saved by God's grace through faith and faith alone. However, Bible faith never stands alone. If we have faith in God, we will have corresponding action that goes with that faith. And so if we truly do call upon the name of the Lord, and we do receive the divine nature, and we escape through the divine nature, through the new birth, the corruption that's in the world, then we become children of God. We become sons of God and daughters of God, and we want to please our Father. We want to bring Him joy. And God says, here are the seven things I want you to add to your faith. I want you to work them by my grace, through your faith, into your lives. And it brings Him joy. Because God has called us to be fruitful and not barren. He says, if these things be in us and abound, we'll never be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Man, we can live a life now through faith in Christ that pleases the Lord, that causes us to be fruitful, that keeps us from being barren. I've been in this a long time, and it does concern me how many so-called Christians do not have fruit in their lives. And they don't have a desire for fruit. That concerns me. You should want to please your Father if you're born of Him. You should want to add to your faith these things. I see people get saved all the time, and they say they know God, but they don't seem to have a hunger or a desire to add these things to their lives. Boy, not so, I pray, among us. I pray that we long to have these seven pillars developed in our lives, these seven things worked into our personal character. All right, last week I covered virtue and what virtue is and living a virtuous life and how God's called us to a life of virtue. Tonight, I want to go to the second pillar. He said, add to your faith these things and be diligent about it. Be disciplined about it. Add to your faith virtue, moral uprightness. Moral uprightness. And again, you need to go back and go over all that information. I don't want to get bogged down in my introduction here. And to virtue, knowledge. Everybody say knowledge. We need to add knowledge now to our conversion, to our faith in Christ. We've heard the good news, the gospel. We've received it. We've been born again. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. God says, now add these things to your life. Virtue, pursue that and climb that mountain. I talked about last week of virtue. And then now knowledge. Notice verse 2. This is important. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Look at verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who hath called us to glory and to virtue. See, knowledge is important. And adding knowledge to your faith is important. Now, I find it interesting that in verse 2, this knowledge of God is a different Greek word than the knowledge He said add to your faith in verse 5. In verse 5, the knowledge we must add to our faith in the Greek is gnosis. Gnosis. And it means information. It means literally science. It literally means general knowledge or the Scriptures, just knowledge. Gnosis. The knowledge of God is epigenosis. I find that fascinating that God's grace and His peace will be multiplied unto you through epigenosis. Not just gnosis, but epigenosis comes from gnosis. Gnosis is the Word of God. It's knowledge. It's just pursuing knowledge and understanding of God after you get saved. And if you will search the Scriptures, if you'll get in a good church, if you'll get in good fellowship with people that really love God and that they don't want to be religious, but they really do enjoy talking about the things of God, we can receive from one another knowledge. We can receive understanding of this passage, understanding of that issue, depth with that doctrine. Doctrine would fall under gnosis, knowledge. And I have found that people who get epi means above, epi means over. So see, there's a knowledge of the Scriptures, but then there's revelation knowledge of what God is saying. But revelation knowledge, knowledge from above, knowledge that's above and over, gnosis starts with gnosis. The people who receive revelation are the people reading the Bible. The people who are getting revelation knowledge start with knowledge. They get a basic information of the things of God. They get plugged into a good church. They get plugged into a good cell group. They begin to study. 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 says, study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. You need to study. We all need to study. Studying and knowledge and acquiring knowledge, information, is not just for the preacher and the preacher only. Amen? You should study. That's what we're doing now. We're studying together. We're sharing together. We're fellowshipping together. And God's called me to make sure I bring you something of eternal value. And to me, what I'm saying, listen carefully, it's epigenosis. It's a revelation to me. I'm not preaching out of somebody's book. I'm not preaching out of somebody else's tapes. But see, other people's books and other people's tapes have brought me knowledge, gnosis. And I've taken it off of the pages of the books or the tapes, gone to the Bible and meditated in the Word of God, and it went from gnosis, here's the facts, here's the information, here's what God's Word says, but here's what it means. That's epigenosis. That's when it goes from the letter to the spirit. Lots of people do study the Bible and they're meaner than a snake. You ever met them? I pray you're not sitting by them. Amen. Amen. I've met these people. Mean and religious and dogmatic and legalistic. They have gnosis, but grace and peace isn't being multiplied because epigenosis is what releases the grace of God in your life. Knowledge from above, hearing from God on your own. Everything I do is to take you to God. Everything I share is to be knowledge that it's epigenosis to me, but when you're hearing it with these ears right now, it's just information to you unless the Holy Spirit descends upon it. Just like the Word was sown in the womb of Mary, then the Holy Spirit overshadowed that Word. and she brought forth the Christ, the Messiah. God's word is seed. I'm sowing it right now into the womb of your heart. But unless the Holy Spirit overshadows that seed, that word, and it become a rhema, it become life to you, it's just information. It can't hurt you unless you live there and never get epigenosis, because in time you'll get puffed up with just knowledge. Gnosis without epigenosis can lead to arrogance and pride. And there's a lot of that in the church. People read the Bible, they study the Bible, but they don't allow it to take them to Jesus, the living word. This is the written word. These are the scriptures. And if you just read those, you're going to get gnosis, knowledge. And you need it. And you need to pursue knowledge. But unless you go from knowledge, gnosis, to epigenosis, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. On the other hand, now, I'm bouncing back and forth because there's a balance to this. On the other hand, you're not going to get epigenosis if you don't crack the book. Amen. Some of you are wanting to hear from God. Read. You come to church even here, give me a word from God. I'll give you a bunch of them. Amen? And if you will study, if you will pursue knowledge, knowledge is the basis for your faith. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So see, your faith begins and ends where the Word of God is known. I'm going to say that again. Your faith begins and ends where the Word of God is known. You cannot have faith for something you don't know. You can't have faith independent of a word from God. That's why what we do is so important, especially in these days, especially in these last days, especially in times of so much deception and religiosity and just on and on it goes. We need to be thankful for friends to fellowship with that love God and are willing to seek knowledge and hear the Word of God and their faith increase. I need my faith to continually increase. Then I need knowledge. I cannot believe God beyond His Word. So I have to add to my faith knowledge. And that knowledge will go from gnosis, knowledge about God, to epigenosis, knowledge of God. The difference between gnosis, knowledge, and epigenosis, revelation knowledge, is gnosis will give you a knowledge about God. And that's the beginning of changing your life. But till you get a knowledge of God, there's a difference in knowing God and knowing about God. See, a lot of people think they know me, but they don't know me. They know about me. And unfortunately, I kind of know how God feels sometimes. I've been grossly misrepresented many times. My children constantly run into people as they've gotten older and they're in the work field and workplace. They'll run into people that they don't know, my children, and my name will come up and these people hate me. And my children are dumbfounded. You really hate Dwayne Sheriff? Yeah. Do you know him? Well, I've never met him, but I've heard this and I've heard that and somebody told me this. I wonder how many people think they know God and they've just heard about God. They don't know him. They don't know him. Amen. It's the knowledge of God, epigenosis, that releases the grace and peace of God, multiplies it into your life. And that all begins with hearing God's word, studying God's word, praying God's word, going to a place where God's word is proclaimed on a regular basis, getting involved with people who exalt the word and believe in the word. In 2 Timothy, I said 1 Timothy, it's 2 Timothy 2:15, where it says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word study means be diligent. Be diligent. Do you know God wants you to add to your faith? Diligence. We need to be diligent. We're supposed to be disciples of Christ. A disciple is a disciplined, everybody say disciplined, a disciplined follower. We need to discipline ourselves. We need to manage our lives a little better and make sure God is a part of our routine in this life in the sense of diligently pursuing Him, diligently acquiring knowledge that is the basis and foundation for our faith. Now, I want to turn to this. I'm doing all right on my time. Go to Isaiah 33. This is a powerful statement about knowledge and about wisdom. I did a series of tapes, and I believe I taught them here, on the wisdom of God and the pillars of wisdom and how that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. Guess what the foundation of wisdom and understanding is? Knowledge. You can't get understanding without knowledge first. And you can't get wisdom without understanding. So the foundation of even wisdom that's the principal thing is knowledge. Knowledge. Rightly divide means proper analysis and presentation. It's so important that I properly divide, discern what God is saying. And even the presentation of God's word is very important. How I say what I say, how I communicate God's life is so important to God. And how you communicate God's life to your peers and to your family. That's why you need to study. You need a basic working knowledge of the Word of God and an intelligent understanding of your faith where you can share your faith. God wants us to share our faith. He didn't want us just going around going, I feel good. Dun-na-na, dun-na-na. Man, you should have been at church last week. Hallelujah, we had a blowout. What happened? I don't know, but it was good. That's not going to change the world. It's not going to help you, your co-workers that are struggling in their marriages and their finances and their relationships. And you need to get something of substance in every service that begins with gnosis, but as you pray over it and as you leave here with it, it becomes epigenosis to you, where you can bless other people. Where you can bless other people. Isaiah 33, look at verse 5. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. Zion is the church. Aren't you glad he filled it with judgment? Judgment's a good thing, isn't it? Righteousness is a good thing. Verse 6 says, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the treasure of the Lord. And he says that it's wisdom and knowledge that'll be the stability of your times. We live in unstable times. Can I get a witness? I don't know if some of you are awake. The times are very unstable. Where the world at large even is, you have to be careful not to let your eyes get too focused on it and fear get into your heart. It's a serious day. We live in very unstable times, unstable economy, unstable borders, unstable relationships. And have you ever known anyone, now be honest, and when I ask these questions, my ultimate prayer is that you look in the mirror when I say, do you know anybody, okay? But do you know anybody? They're saved. They called upon the name of the Lord, but they have no strength, no endurance. They get blown away by every trial, tribulation. Something doesn't work out and they just give up. I mean, they have no stability and they have no strength of salvation. They're saved. They made a commitment to Christ. They believed in their heart that God raised him from the dead. They confessed him as Lord and they meant it. But no stability and no strength of salvation. See, you have to add to your faith knowledge. You're not adding it to get saved. You are saved. Amen? It's not faith plus all these works and rituals and doctrines and things to get saved. No, we get saved by grace through faith and faith alone. But Bible faith has action and it never stands alone. You want assurance. That's what Peter said too. You'll have an assurance, a sure welcoming into the kingdom of God when you pass from this life to the next if you add these things to your faith. Now, I need my salvation strengthened, and I need to be stable. So whether you get this or not, I'm glad I came. I needed to hear this. Amen. Because I don't want to just be saved and act like a chicken with my head cut off in these last days, just flopping all over the place. Amen. I want to be able to be a witness. I want to be able to be an example, a model, not in pride, not in arrogance, not better than thou, not self-righteousness. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what I'm preaching on Sunday morning. I want to be authentic. I need knowledge. I need knowledge. No one has ever been successful at anything without knowledge. You can't be a doctor without knowledge. At least operate on me. You can't be a mechanic and work on my car without knowledge. You can't be a rancher. Well, you can do anything if you can be a rancher. I'm having too much fun with this. These cows. All right. All I want you to understand is that there are no success stories without knowledge. Why would people think you get born again, even filled with the Holy Spirit, and that you're going to be successful in the kingdom without a knowledge of the kingdom? And why are we having church if we're not learning, if we're not being taught, if we're not being discipled in knowledge? We have to have knowledge, and it added. Go to Hosea 4. Hosea, the book of Hosea, chapter 4. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of your salvation. Hosea chapter 4, and you're familiar with verse 6, but let's read together verses 1 through 6, because this is pretty powerful. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there's no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Wow. That sounds like America. That sounds like our hour. Where is truth in the land? Truth is hated in our culture today. Truth is impugned. Truth is attacked. Mercy, God's mercy. You can't have mercy, by the way, without judgment. There is no mercy without judgment. You take judgment away, there's no need for mercy. There's only one thing that can be judged in this culture today. Me, the preacher. I'm fair game. Christians are fair game. They got no tolerance in our culture for the Bible, no tolerance for morality. No, hollering tolerance, tolerance, tolerance. Don't be judgmental. Don't judge anything. Listen, dear ones, judgment is a pillar of wisdom. And if you don't learn judgment, you're going to lose your marriages. If you don't learn judgment, you're going to lose your kids, because you're going to have to make some judgment calls. I can't pastor a church without judgment. Judgment means decisions, a decision, a rendering, a verdict. And I have to make them every day. And our success is directly linked to judgment. And because I understand judgment, I love mercy now. And I'm going to give most of you, there's a few of you, nothing but judgment for you. But most of you, mercy. Because I need mercy. I bet I'm not the only one that needs mercy. I need some mercy. So I'm filling up my love bank with deposits. You remember my love bank story. I'm making deposits with God being merciful to y'all. Why? I may need a withdrawal. So I'm sowing. And then he says there's no knowledge of God in the land. Listen, this generation is unique in a lot of ways. But one of the things that marks this generation above all generations, at least in America, is they don't have a knowledge of God. They don't know certain things are wrong. We've got a generation that really does not know that's wrong. Now, the difference between our generation and the generation coming up now, we at least knew it was wrong. We did it anyway, but bless God, we knew it was wrong. And we're going to do it. And that ain't good. But it is very dangerous to do wrong and not even know it's wrong. No knowledge of God. With a knowledge of God comes a standard. You can't get a knowledge of God and not have any morals. You can't get a knowledge of God and not come to the conclusion, wait a minute, this is right and this is wrong. God is the one that knows good and evil. And he knows good and evil different than men who eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God knows good and evil in a way man without God cannot understand. And so when you get to know God, suddenly covenants become important, for instance, like keeping your word. You just get a knowledge of God, you find out God keeps his word. Swears to his own hurt and changes not. I've been there a lot. I've been a lot like God in that. Okay, that didn't fly. Only those close to me laughed. That knows behind the scenes how many times I swore to my own hurt and changed not. Because I did say I would do that. And I'm not saying I haven't repented when I've given the wrong word. Because sometimes, you know, it's better to just say, I was wrong. Forgive me. Than to stick with something that's harmful to someone else. I've sworn to my own hurt. There's a difference and change not. And I felt like I needed to qualify that. Anytime I've given my word and could hurt others, I'm going to repent. Because God didn't call me to hurt anybody. Amen? Amen. Except with a spanking, a Holy Ghost spanking. Now, some of you leave here whining every service. That's a good hurting. That's the chastening of the Lord. That's different. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in sin. I'm talking about in darkness hurting people. Now, he said, I got a problem with you. There's no knowledge of God in the land. Verse 2 says, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. That's 6 o'clock news. Verse 3 says, therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beast of the field and with the fowls of heaven, yea, the fish of the sea also shall be taken away. Let me tell you something. No matter how the world attacks the church, if we don't stand up, they will hate us even more. If we don't do what's right as a people. I get so tickled at the world, you know, attacking you and persecuting you for righteousness all the time, but then mess up and watch them jump all over you. They expect us to do the right thing. Amen. Even though they're going to attack us, they expect us to do the right thing, say the right thing. God says there's consequences to a lack of knowledge of God in the land. No matter how hard man tries to remove God from all public forum, remove the Bible from public forum, remove prayer from public forum, try to, the very world that tells us, keep your religion in your four walls, will despise us and call us hypocrites if we act one way here and another way out there. That's how confused they are. You and I must understand there's consequences for a lack of knowledge of God in the land. And the righteous and the unrighteous suffer when evil prevails. Amen. The righteous and the unrighteous suffer when God's taken out of the land. Verse 4 says, yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. My people, God's people, are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. God says there's consequences to a lack of knowledge. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, if you've been coming here a while, you know we do a lot of teaching on family, the home, marriage, relationships. Because the heart of the church is family. God's a family guy. And the gospel, the relationship we have with Jesus as a church, is painted in the Bible as a husband and a wife in Ephesians chapter 5. So see, your marriage is something seen that points to something unseen. Our relationship with Jesus. He's the husband and we're the wife. And marriage is near and dear to the heart of God. In the book of Peter, there, chapter 3, verse 7, it says that we husbands need to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. Everybody say, according to knowledge. Giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel, but as heirs together of the grace of life, lest your prayers be hindered. Wow. That's New Testament. I know I'm not the only one that is tempted to get in strife with my spouse. Some of you ducking and dodging. Come up with a new word again. Put two of them together. Man, every time Sue and I get in a little tiff, that scripture comes back. It's like, Lord, I know what that scripture says. Can I get a witness that if you don't get even a basic knowledge of male and female, see, if you buy into the psychobabble of this culture that says men and women are the same, you're going to be miserable the rest of your life. Because I don't care how many studies they do and how many lies they propagate, men and women are different. We're wired different, we think different, we feel different, we see different, we talk different. There's a code language you have to learn about a woman. I'm telling you. I ain't going to tell you no more unless somebody get mad at me. We're different. And if you don't get a basic knowledge of even the differences between men and women, you'll frustrate the relationship. If you don't get a basic knowledge as a husband of honoring her, God says honor her as the weaker vessel, but as heirs together of the grace of life. Or my prayers will be hindered. Satan wants me to get in strife with Sue to harm y'all. And so I'm going to go the extra mile with my wife, not just out of love for my wife, but love for y'all. I need my prayers to avail for you people to get it together. Amen. At least your humor's picking up. You can tell when I'm just digging and having fun. But I'm really trying to make a point that I can't pastor successfully when my prayer's hindered. I can't see people get healed that I'm praying for her. If my prayers are hindered. Now watch this. Here's what I want you to see. Husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. The Amplified Bible says an intelligent recognition of the marriage relation. The devil is so slick and man without God is so slow. We live in a generation, first generation on the planet. First generation in over 6,000 years of recorded history that there are some people among us that do not know what a marriage is. We're having to vote on what a marriage is. That's how under assault marriages are. Why is Satan attacking the home so viciously? Why is the divorce rate so high? We're good people. We do love God. We do love each other, but we become victims. We have casualties in a good church. I'm telling you, because it's the assault on that union and the power of that union and the unity that you have in marriage that Satan despises above all things on this planet, and he wants above all things to damage your psyche of your relationship with Jesus. He wants every woman in here eventually to hate men because it'll destroy your relationship with God, Jesus Christ, your husband. He wants every male in here to get some goofy idea about all women. Could you tell the difference when I said something about women versus said something about men? The men are cowards. They're none of them laugh. They stiffen up like a board. I ain't gonna respond. I'll pay for that for 3 weeks. Ain't no way. Amen. Now listen, if it takes a knot, now watch this. If it takes knowledge for Sue and I to develop our relationship so my prayers can avail, why would I think I can get saved and have a great relationship with Jesus, my husband, independent of knowledge? That's why you study. That's why you need good teachers. I need good teachers in my life. We need to be a good body that gets in the Word of God, because we're developing in our knowledge of Jesus so we can have a good relationship with Him. The depth of your relationship with the Lord will be measured by your knowledge. The more you know Him, the more you're going to love Him. And Satan doesn't want you to love Him. Satan doesn't want you to get along with Him. Satan wants you to get mad at God. He wants you to turn on God. He wants you to give up on God. He wants to paint a bad picture of God. He wants to destroy you from a lack of knowledge. Because if you knew him, you'd never give up on him. If you knew him, you'd overcome wavering when you feel like he doesn't love you. If you knew him, no matter how you feel and how bad it looks, you would know he cannot. He cannot deny himself. I'm so united to him. I'm so one spirit with him, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone through my faith. For him to deny me would be for him to deny himself. And he cannot deny himself. This is a test. Everything's a test of your relationship with the Lord. And sometimes I too go through those tests. And I mean, I have to stop and I have to remind myself, had this been an actual emergency, the Lord would have taken me out of here. Amen? It's a test. It's a test of my faith. It's a test of my commitment. It's a test of my love for God, not his love for me. And knowledge is what's caused me to maintain and develop my relationship with the Lord, where now I'm bearing much fruit. You're not going to succeed at anything independent of knowledge. You need a knowledge of God. Real quick, I didn't start my clock. I'm sorry, I got 55 minutes. Let me start that right now. Go to Proverbs. Real quick, we'll fly through these. How am I doing on my time? Anybody know? You're kidding. Are you saying I only got 3 minutes? Oh, 14. Are y'all just acting? Okay. Good. All right, Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, very familiar, but I want you to mark it. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Wow. The fear of the Lord. That's why we worship. That's why we begin the service with worship. Fearing God, Jesus used fearing God and worshiping God interchangeably. He said in Matthew chapter 4, on the Mount of Transfiguration, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He quoted Deuteronomy, where the scriptures literally say, thou shalt fear the Lord, and him only shalt thou serve. The fear of the Lord is not a demonic fear. It's not a tormenting fear. It is a reverential fear that is a form of worship to God. And man, I have a genuine fear of God. I don't know where it came from. I don't care, but I have it. And it's paid off. It's truly paid off. I have a fear, a godly fear, a wholesome fear of all authority. I taught on virtue last week. And here I'm talking about character. I'm talking about virtue. I'm talking about being morally upright, integrity, all those things that make up a virtuous life. And I got pulled over speeding. And I knew when he walked up, and nobody's going to believe the truth, you know, because the girls were in the back cutting up with me. And we were talking about God. And we were talking about living holy lives. And so they're laughing the whole time. And I'm not a happy camper because I don't speed. Everybody speeds. But I don't speed on purpose. I'm telling you, if I'm speeding, it's an accident. And everybody makes fun of me for it. I mean, I'm constantly pushing the cruise control because it helps me keep from speeding because I get to praying and I'll start speeding. Your foot gets heavy when you're praying. I am so embarrassed. Here I'm preaching on virtue, being people of character. The girls are cracking up in the back. They got two of their girlfriends in the car. And they're laughing. So now I'm really embarrassed because the cop is going to be mad, you know. But the kids in the back laughing. It's not going to help my case. And so, man, I just pulled my registration out and I'm going, I'm broke right now. I mean, I am broke. I don't have the money for this. My insurance will go up. I am just depressed. I mean, I'm fighting depression. And I pull the registration out. I go ahead and get my wallet out. And I know he's going to see my name. And it's going to make it 10 times worse when he goes, have I seen you before? I'm dreading it. Oh, I'm dreading it. And the girls are going to see the whole thing. Man walks up, puts his light in my eyes. And he goes, Pastor Dwayne. What an honor. This is the biggest honor of my life to pull you over. I'm thinking, I hope he doesn't drag me to jail. Put that in his gun notch. What an honor. I'm sitting there, oh my God. Such an honor to pull you over. The guy's going on. This is the biggest honor of my life. To meet you and talk to you and to pull you over. I mean, he's going, the girls are rolling. What was my point? Because I'd have never told on myself without a point. Now, there's got to be a higher call than that to tell this. Oh, the fear of the... I knew where I was testing you. To this day, I fear a cop with holy fear. I do fear a cop with not demonic fear, tormenting fear. But I have an awesome dread of displeasing one of those guys. Amen? He gave me a warning. Thank you, Jesus, for mercy. He said, you came to my church when I was a little kid. I said, and I'll come back if you'll tell me what church it was. I'll come preach on mercy. I'll come tell them how much God loves them. Hallelujah. And it was an Indian church way up in the hills. Anyway, that was cool. Point is, I still have a fear, and that fear does motivate me to do the right thing. And I, like I taught you, mess up too. That was the whole message, is I mess up, you mess up. We need mercy. He knew the spirit of the law and that I wasn't purposely speeding. And he would have been just to give me a ticket. Because I did break the speed limit. And so I thank God I understand judgment, so I got mercy. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's the foundation in our lives as His children to quit doing the things we know displeases Him. Amen? And we need to even think about God in that light. In the charismatic movement, and I believe in the teaching and practice it, and we sing it, we're friends of God. Man, what an honor to be called the friend of God. Jesus calls us friends. He is our brother, but He's also God. And you can get this buddy-buddy thing going with Jesus that's disrespectful. Amen. He is to be reverenced. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So see, if we're pursuing knowledge, we're going to grow in our fear of God. And the fear of God will produce holiness in our lives. It will produce and cause us to be fruitful. Go to Proverbs 18 real quick. I spent too long on that. I'm sorry. But I guess it's always good to humble myself. Amen. Proverbs chapter 18, look at verse 15, because this would be a good one to mark. The Proverbs, of course, is full of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Multiple scriptures. Proverbs 18, verse 15, though, it says two major things in one verse, so I wanted to give you that one. Proverbs 18, 15, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. See, it's good that you've gotten saved. It's good that you're born again. It's good that you're going to heaven. Now, that's out of the way. Let's get some knowledge. Let's be prudent. The prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh. Help me out just a little bit. What does the ear of the wise seek? We need to hunger for knowledge. We need to always be listening. Even if I say something you think you know what I'm going to say, keep listening. You'll get something you haven't heard every time. Every time. And that lays a great foundation for your edifice, your life, to be built upon, where people can find refuge in your life in times of trouble. One last passage, Jeremiah. Jeremiah, and we'll pray and believe God to use us mightily. Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. I went to church most of my upbringing by myself. And I think that's why I'm so driven to make sure I give you something of eternal value every time we get together. Because I went to church for years, and I'm not knocking preaching. I wish I was better. I wish I was a better preacher at times. When I preach, you can count on one thing. It's the anointing of God. I'm out of character. I'm just getting after it. And yet some people are so gifted, they just open and start preaching. I'm not that way. I'm more geared to instruction, teaching. I really believe I'm a preacher. I teach by design. I preach by accident. So I'm a preacher in the kingdom of heaven. But one of the things I resented was that we'd go to church. I mean, I went to church 3 and 4 times a week by myself as a young teenager. And it was just preaching. I didn't understand what they're saying. They never connected the dots for me. I left more confused than when I came. I usually felt worse afterwards than before because it was just such condemning and beat me into the purposes of God that it just wasn't a great experience. And again, I want to make sure you understand me. Preaching is good. We need good preaching in a house like this because it'll stir you up. But we have to be taught. We have to be instructed. We have to know where we're at, A, point A, and how to get to point B in the kingdom. And that's of eternal value to you. Never underestimate the power of teaching, the power of knowledge and imparting life in that way. Ever, never, ever underestimate that. Watch what God said He would do in the last days. We'll close with this. Jeremiah 3, verse 15, "And I will give you pastors." Man, I praise God for victory because you don't have a pastor and you don't have to see the pastor. You have pastors. You do have pastors. "I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Now watch this. "And it shall come to pass when you be multiplied and increase in the land in those days, saith the Lord. They shall say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done away anymore or more." The thing I want you to see there is when knowledge and understanding is fed to you, you will multiply and you will increase in the land. Remember, God says, "I'm not happy with the land because there's no knowledge in the land." In Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, it says, "They that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." A knowledge of God strengthens you in your salvation and causes you to be equipped to go do exploits. He said, "I'm going to give you pastors that will feed you with knowledge and understanding." I would rather 5 people come hungry for the word, hungry to be taught, humble in heart. The meek shall inherit the earth because the meek are teachable. I'd rather pastor 5 people that hunger for the word of God than 5,000 playing church. Amen? Amen. I just pray that you come to know God in a progressive way and that you would get strong and stable in your salvation and do exploits in these last days. Amen? Amen. Were you blessed? Amen. Amen.